The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, DK Network, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland live from Bar Canada right here at the lovely day.
Heyo.
What's happening? You good?
Not much, man. Yeah, I was just trying to figure out. I was looking at the other monitor over here trying to figure out if it was like an 8 or a 9 out of 10 on the hair today.
Oh.
I think it's like an 8 out of 10. It's not perfect.
Nah, it's
not. It's pretty good.
Minimum 9.
Minimum 9.
Looking good. Hadn't really checked it out until you mentioned it, but looking good. It is Thursday. That means Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger, on the show. Tim Murray from VSiN Primetime will join us to talk college football, as will Joe Sheehan to talk Major League Baseball playoffs division round. And I guess that's where we start, Kelly, because 36 hours. That's all it took to complete the wild card round in baseball. That's it. In the year of the pitch clock, this was the series equivalent of a pitch clock.
Yep.
Enforced.
I don't know how I feel about this, by the way. Like, I don't, like, you play so many regular season games.
Yeah.
And then best of three.
Well, I mean, you know, you think about it, down the stretch, like, we had all these races for the wild card specifically, less so for the divisions, but the AL West was a big division race. And it kind of ended with a whimper, all of them, the last
right.
weekend of the season. And this was the series equivalent of a whimper. And I said on the show yesterday, more than once, I said I would not be surprised if all four series closed out today.
You totally did call it. I guess we should address that immediately.
Yeah.
We even crunched the parlay number on.
We even did.
Did you ever bet it?
Nope.
I didn't even think about
it. I did not. What I did do was I bet the two morning games in a parlay and then the two late games in a parlay,
okay.
Which is not good compared to playing the whole thing.
12 to 1 or whatever,
yeah. Yeah, because it was 12 to 1. I ended up getting like 4 plus to 1, which is sort of like I should have just played every game individually at that point. So ever have a winning day, quite a nice winning day in baseball, and then are still angry at yourself? That's my feeling
that's,
right now.
That's betting, man.
It's completely my feeling right now.
You can be angry at yourself whether you win bets or lose bets.
The stupidity of, yes, the psychology of it all. In case you missed it, Texas rolls Tampa Bay. They do so on the strength of a 4-run top of the fourth, highlighted by an Aroldis Garcia solo shot, a Josh Young RBI triple, then an Evan Carter 2-run jack, and Texas just cruised against Tampa Bay yesterday, close out that series in 2. Minnesota-Toronto was a little more competitive. Rangers, by the way, won that game 7-1 as a +131 dog. Toronto-Minnesota game 2 was a little more competitive. It was 2-0 Twins. And then the big moment of the game, Jays had runners at second and third with two out in the top of the fifth. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. picked off second base as Sonny Gray and Carlos Correa gave themselves a little look and a little tap of the hat where they knew that they had this play hot and it worked out for them. Twins end up winning it by that same score, 2-0. They do so as a -145 favorite yesterday. Then the night games in the National League. Arizona comes yet again from behind. It was a 3-0 deficit. They came from behind in game one. This time it was a 2-0 deficit behind Zach Gallen. Zach Gallen went 6 strong, gave up 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 4 Ks, 3 walks. They were down 2-0. The D-backs were solo jacked by Alec Thomas in the fifth and a 4-run sixth. Ketel Marte with a 2 RBI single that put the D-backs ahead to stay. Brewers did get the bases loaded in the bottom of the eighth with one out, but fielder's choice. 2 in a row, snuff that out. And then in the nightcap, by the way, D-backs win that 5-2 in the end as a +120 dog. And then in the nightcap, Phillies just rolled the Marlins. They beat them 7-1 in the end. The Marlins did get on the board. But Aaron Nola, 7 strong, gave them no earned runs, 3 hits, 3 Ks, 1 walk. And the Phillies roll to the 2-0 sweep as that one now becomes it really the capper of all of them, because now we have a situation in baseball where they don't reseed, right? It's a static bracket. So you end up having the Phillies now playing the Braves in the National League, whereas the you know, what you'll end up having is the Diamondbacks playing the Dodgers. If it were a reseed, it wouldn't have worked out that way. It would have been the Diamondbacks, Braves, and then the Phillies and the Dodgers, but they don't do that in baseball. So we'll ask Joe Sheehan if he has a problem with that. But Braves are -165 favorites in that series against the Phillies, which begins, all of these begin Saturday. We have another quadruple header, game ones of all the division round on Saturday. Braves -165 in that series against the Phillies. Phillies +140 on the comeback. Dodgers are the biggest favorite in the divisional round series. pre-flop, they're minus 200. The Diamondbacks are plus 170. And then the American League, the Astros are minus 160 favorite against the AL Central champ Twins, who are plus 135 as a dog. And the Orioles and the Rangers are a coin flip at minus 110.
What do you like best? Anything? Did you bet anything yet?
I have not bet anything yet. I have the Phillies beating the Astros in the World Series, so I guess by default.
Let's go.
I will say this. I actually like both of the National League dogs. If you're just talking about value, Phillies plus 140, Diamondbacks plus 170. Braves won 8 of 13 against the Phillies this year. Dodgers won 8 of 13 against the Diamondbacks this year. In case you were wondering about season series, Orioles and Rangers split 3 games apiece in a 6-game set. So that one is appropriately, again, if you're even looking at that, every which way you slice that one, it comes up even. And the Astros and the Twins, I can't even remember off the top of my head how that one worked out.
Orioles Rangers looks like a that looks like the price even I would expect, and I won no part of it at all.
Twins won 4 of 6 from the Astros this year, in case you were wondering about the season series. So we'll talk to Joe Sheehan about these coming up here in the next segment, what his thoughts are, who he thinks the biggest live dog is, and what his big takeaway was from a 36-hour wild card round of baseball. That's it. Wish I had followed that instinct with the 14 parlay, but I did the 2 and 2 thinking, well, let me allow for myself not to be right about one of these. Yeah, they all came through. I hope a lot of listeners, because we did get a lot of feedback from listeners did play the 14 parlay.
That's why I had to bring it up, because so many people were tweeting.
So many people want it. Football tonight, Thursday Night Football. Oh, just the matchup you want to see. The Bears and the Commodes from Ral John. Yeah. Just what you want. This is the difference between baseball, right? We were talking about this a little yesterday, between baseball and football. Baseball has become so regional where, you know, I'll just take San Francisco. If the Giants are doing well, everybody's in a baseball frenzy. But I'm not sure, like, the average Giants fan watched any of those games yesterday. Like, it's so regional in that respect.
Yeah.
It's a little different on the East Coast because even the years when Baltimore's not making the playoffs, the fan base is well aware if the Yankees or Red Sox are in it so they can root against them. But it's just so regional in that way. It's not like the country isn't, you know, enraptured by these games. Whereas the Bears and the Commanders, everybody's watching.
Everybody will watch it.
Everybody's watching it. Standalone football. Commodes are -5.5 now in this game with a total of 44.5.
You'll find 5.5 to 6.5. You'll find that. You'll find both those numbers now, mostly sixes out there.
Mostly sixes. We're showing 5.5, but mostly sixes. Bears have lost 14 in a row, famously. A lot going on in this game between Eberflus perhaps being on the hot seat, last winless team. Obviously, there's implications between the Bears and the Panthers. There's survivor implications. We'll get to that here in a moment. But the Bears have lost 14 in a row. They might get back their left guard, Trevin Jenkins, tonight, who has been designated for return. Cody Whitehair has been in as his replacement. He has struggled mightily, 11 pressures on 160 dropbacks, whereas Jenkins only allowed 12 pressures on 304 dropbacks. At his position, so that return would be massive for the Bears. But the real thing is probably on the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
Sam Howell, 34th when facing pressure, 34th out of 34 quarterbacks. I believe that's dead last when he faces pressure this year in EPA per play. He goes to 20th when he has a clean pocket. So basically goes from the worst quarterback in the league to just below average when he's not pressured. And that's good news for Washington because the Bears have generated the second lowest pressure rate in all of football this year. And their secondary is banged up as well. It isn't talented enough to begin with.
Yeah, you got three starters out.
So they're, and by the way, they're 31st in DVOA against the pass this year as is. So that sets up nicely for Washington, 5.5-point favorites. So I'm involved in all three of those things we just talked about. Survivor, obviously. The Eberflus, first coach fired. And I have Carolina last winless. I was having a conversation about Survivor this morning with my buddy in D.C., who's in his own Survivor pools and sort of doesn't get that you have to take chances with this. I think I have to put both of my final entries on the Commanders. I think I have to.
Massive Thursday night.
I'm just going to fly the plane into the side of the mountain. Because here's the thing. The two entries that have lasted for me happened to have been the chalky ones, right? The good entry that I had going got knocked out. So if I kept going with the obvious choices every week, even if I got through like into November, I'm not winning it. So again, the object here is to win. So when the Commanders are presented to you as a 5.5-point favorite at home on a Thursday night against the Bears, it's sort of incumbent upon any of those of us who have just a chalky entry left, I think you have to play the Commanders.
I think you do too. I think you're making the right call. Yeah. Especially with the ones that you've already gone a little bit more chalky with.
And if you lose, you lose. I'd rather lose now than later.
We were talking about before the show. It is like it's a very different game if all your strategy is to survive to Thanksgiving. That's not the point of this.
You're trying to win. You're trying to win money in this. So I think I play the Commanders tonight on both. And if that happens, maybe Eberflus gets tired, so maybe it's a double whammy. And if the Commanders lose, which you have to be prepared for that outcome, you know, in all of these, because you never know, then the Carolina Panthers' last winless team becomes a real thing this week. So, got a lot going on, but I think that's the way I'm playing it tonight.
Yeah, this is, I got nothing in this one. Would be a lean to the over to me, I guess, here with, we saw a little life, at least, out of the Bears offense last week. We talked about some of the defensive injuries that they have. Lean to the over. I would also look at Terry McLaurin receiving yards, Jahan Dotson back, so he'll take some attention away from him. Hey, McLaurin has had some average games so far, so that number's come down a bit. It's in the 50s, I think. I might end up on an over on his receiving yards tonight.
Yeah. You'd never go wrong going over on Terry McLaurin props, that's for sure. I have no play on the spread or on the total in this ballgame. I'll just play it survivor-wise. Joe Sheehan will join us next to talk about game ones and the series prices in the division rounds of baseball. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball season is ready to tip off, and the VSiN experts have been hard at work tracking the latest player moves to help you bet smarter. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get our all-new NBA betting guide that features up-to-date previews on all 30 teams, futures and year-long player props, best bets on player awards like Rookie of the Year, live betting strategies, plus strategy and advice on building your own NBA betting model from senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel. Give yourself an edge this season. Get the VSiN NBA betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Our own Kelly Bidlin working hard on that betting guide as well. A labor of love for you.
That's right, man. Yeah, a lot of great work done in there. I can't wait to sit down and actually read the whole thing. Zach Cohen, JVT. JVT wrote up previews on 25 teams. 25 teams. Zach did the Southeast Division. We got all that in there, plus a bunch of other articles. I wrote on live betting strategies, a lot of the stuff that you and I discussed for years on Primetime Action.
Yep.
A lot of that going into that. And then also some alt win totals that we brought up a little bit the other day. We'll dive more into tomorrow on the show, but
I'm interested in hearing that.
I had a lot of fun writing both of those pieces up. So yeah, great. I think another great NBA guide, one of the better ones we've had here in a while. And JVT puts a ton of work in. Thanks to Adam Burke, who does all the kind of managing of everybody, getting everybody on track as far as the writers and editors. So a lot of good stuff in there if you're an NBA better.
We got Adam Burke on here to talk baseball as well with us. Now that
busy man,
he is a busy man. Speaking of baseball, we have not had an opportunity to talk to this gentleman during this very brief postseason thus far, so we take that opportunity now. You can find his work on the Joe Sheehan newsletter. You can find him on Twitter at @Joe_Sheehan. That's SHEEHAN. It's Joe Sheehan, everybody. How you doing, Joe?
Good, Gil. Just I got an extra day off. I don't know what to do with myself.
you got. That's right. Today, tomorrow, 36 hours of baseball. That's how long that whole wild card round took, which I was saying earlier is like the pitch clock equivalent of a whole series. Before we get to your division round thoughts, what was your biggest takeaway from these four 2-0 sweeps, if you can generalize?
It was really sloppy, it's not due to the format or anything. It was just a very sloppy couple of days of baseball. Some really awful base running, bad defense, particularly in that Rays series. The Rays just didn't seem prepared. And I think it was a reminder that we've got to evaluate these teams. And one of the things I really wanted to focus on is what they look like now, as opposed to using season-long stats, kind of focusing on what they've looked like since trade deadline. And even at that, I think I overestimated the Rays, missing Luke Raley, missing Brandon Lowe due to injury, missing Wander Franco due to the investigation into his behavior. The bottom of that lineup really fell off. I think it's, like I say, that series to me is a reminder that we've really got to drill down on what these teams are on October 5th, as opposed to kind of taking the season log stats as fact.
Yeah, and in the case of like a Nathan Eovaldi, maybe consider his entire body of work rather than what you've just seen recently, sort of the opposite on a guy like that.
Well, that was a shocker, because if you look at not just the performance, the box score lines, but you know, he was down 2 miles an hour since coming back off the IL in August, six starts. He was getting worse instead of better. You look at his last two starts against the Mariners, they knocked him around. That start yesterday really shocked the heck out of me. The splitter was great. The curve was great. He got a ton of swing and miss. And as you say, you know, maybe that's the guy he is now. But I'll be honest with you, Gil, I did not see that coming based on anything that I saw in September.
I'm going to go through the four series prices here for these division rounds. And after the four of them, you tell me which raises an eyebrow for you. Let's do it that way. So I'll start with the biggest favorite on the board of the four division round series. Best of five, by the way. Dodgers minus 200. The Diamondbacks plus 170. So the Dodgers are the biggest favorite on the board. Then Atlanta minus 165 with the Phillies at plus 140 on the series price. Houston just behind that, minus 160. Minnesota plus 135 on the comeback. And then Joe, Baltimore and Texas, a coin flip at minus 110. What sticks out the most to you there?
That last one surprised me when I saw it last night. Now, the Rangers obviously were one of the best teams in baseball for the first 2 months of the season. They started 40-20, really a 500 team for the last 4 months. Gave away the division on the final weekend, ended up having to play the wild card series. This seems to be a little bit of recency bias to how good they look in that Rays series, but the Rays didn't put any pressure on that bullpen. You know, the bullpen was easily able to protect a couple of really big leads, didn't have to inherit runners. It was just a really easy task for them. The Orioles aren't going to do that. The Orioles are going to put work on, I guess, I have to see the starters, but it's going to be Dane Dunning or Andrew Heaney if they're going to get John Gray back, but it's not going to be Jordan Montgomery, and it's not going to be Nathan Eovaldi, at least until game two. So you're going to be facing the weaker part of the pitching staff. And I think that's an edge for the Orioles. The Orioles are down Felix Bautista, but pretty much they come in healthy otherwise. I was really surprised to see this as a coin flip.
Yeah, you're right. It's probably Dunning or Heaney against, I would imagine, Kyle Bradish for the Orioles in that game one. Again, quadruple header on Saturday. If I came to you from the future and I said, okay, let's throw out the Texas-Baltimore series. Of the other three, one of these dogs, Phillies, Twins, Diamondbacks against the Braves, Astros, and Dodgers, respectively, one of them won their series. Who would that team be?
Well, I think you got to look at the Phillies. I mean, we saw this last year, right? The Phillies took 3 out of 4 from the Braves. The Braves were coming in last year with some questions about their pitching staff. Spencer Strider was hurt. Max Fried was ill. And the Phillies were able to take advantage and take that series. And it's a similar situation this year. You know, Strider hasn't looked that great coming in, but you've got the Charlie Morton questions. You've got the Max Fried questions. Both of them were hurt coming down the stretch. I'm not even sure Morton's going to start in this series. Now you're talking about Kyle Wright. Now you're talking about in the back end of that rotation, which is not very strong. I don't think there's any question the Phillies can win this series. You saw how impressively they took out the Marlins, which is like a bye game, right? It's like when Alabama plays, you know, North Carolina A&T. Really don't even take that seriously. But the Phillies bring power, which is what you need in the postseason. They've got starting depth better than they had last year. And that bullpen has gone from being a problem to an asset. So I think the Phillies are the team of these other three dogs with the best chance to win.
With apologies to the North Carolina A&T Aggies, of course, Joe. We didn't mean to throw that.
This is true.
This is true.
I should have said Atlanta A&T from some line.
Okay, let's go to the game ones then on Saturday. Game ones. I don't know what the proper English is. Dunning or Heaney. We don't even really know the pitching matchups, but I'll tell you what prices have been thrown out. Dunning / Heaney versus Bradish. The Orioles are minus 130 favorite. Texas plus 110. If it's Suarez at Strider, that's the assumption. Atlanta's minus 205. In fact, in terms of game ones, Atlanta's the biggest favorite, minus 205. The Phillies are plus 170. Joe Ryan at either Verlander or Valdez. Houston's minus 162. Minnesota's plus 136. And then I guess Merrill Kelly at Clayton Kershaw, but we don't know. Arizona plus 164, the Dodgers minus 198 favorites. Anything in game one stick out to you?
Yeah, I don't, again, to go back to that Phillies thing, you know, Spencer Strider, the FIP numbers, if you look at strikeout rate and some of the advanced stats, he's been great this year, but the fact is he's given up a ton of runs. He's been very hittable. I think that's a danger spot for the Braves. Suarez is a bad matchup. The Braves, of course, with all their right-handed power, I think beyond even who's going to win the game. I think the over up to maybe even 9.5 is going to be the play there. Hmm. And the other thing I look at is that Twins series. You know, Joe Ryan, the Twins have three starters who are roughly the same quality. We saw Pablo Lopez and Sonny Gray in the series against the Jays. Opening up with Ryan, even though he's technically their number three, isn't that big a hurt for them. Framber Valdez, you know, he had the no-hitter, but outside of that, he's been really shaky in the second half. And if you saw in the last couple of days, Gil, that Twins bullpen, I don't think, I'm 52, I don't think I can actually say this. Can I say it's fire? When you're banned for that? I don't think I'm allowed to say that.
Joe, the cringe meter just pinned. Yeah, yeah.
I can hear my 13-year-old daughter, you know, he's like, no, Dad. But guys, they have so many power arms, and it's guys that are pretty much anonymous. Now, a lot of people have seen Juan Duran, and I mean, guys, he threw, 16 four-seam fastballs in the last 2 days. All of them were at least 100. All of them. The average four-seam fastball coming out of that bullpen the last 2 days, 98.1. And it's guys that are anonymous. Caleb Philbar, Brock Stewart, Louis Varland. That is a dangerous, dangerous bullpen. So, you know, all they got to do is get the lead. And I'm not saying it's unhittable. Nobody's unhittable in the playoffs. But that, I don't think coming into this series, we're properly valuing the Twins pitching.
Yeah, you're not alone. A lot of anecdotal love here for the Twinkies moving forward. So before the playoffs, we'll close with this because we only have 45 seconds here. But before the playoffs, I did an exact. I bet the Phillies to beat the Astros at 45-1. That was the bet I made. Just a fun bet. If I asked for the Joe Sheehan Spider Sense World Series outcome, what would you say right now?
Twins over Dodgers. And the Dodgers and Braves are a coin flip for me, but right now I really think that Twins pitching is the best individual unit left in the playoffs, that and the Braves offense.
Wow. Twins over Dodgers. You and our buddy Will Hill both love the Twins here. That would be something else. I mean, was that something that as the season was going on that you were thinking in your head, or is it just sort of in the moment now? You know, you knew about the pitching. You're touting them very well. But did you have that sense during the regular season also?
Yeah, because the Twins have gone from being a pitch-to-contact staff over the last 6 years to the best strikeout staff in baseball. They've intentionally built this under GM Thad Levine, who came over from the Rangers. This is something they've fixed. They're now a dominant, especially in that bullpen, dominant release. So you could see this coming.
All right, Joe, let's do this again, man. Enjoy.
Sounds good.
Joe Sheehan, everybody. Again, at @Joe_Sheehan on Twitter, the Joe Sheehan newsletter. Check it out, all the links at his Twitter, @Joe_Sheehan.
28-1 on that, exactly.
28-1. Very nice. We'll come back. College football with our own Tim Murray. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got to take a break here. Talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. Kelly, what would you like to say about it? Anything? Anything at all?
Hey, huh? Grab them if you're trying to quit smoking.
We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. Sell millions of people, achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live at Bar Canada at the D here in downtown Vegas. Lovely downtown Vegas. Are we allowed to use the adjective lovely when describing downtown Vegas?
Absolutely.
Is that permitted?
Yeah.
This gentleman hosts VSiN Prime Time. He does it with Sean King weekdays here at the network, and he loves himself some college football. We are thrilled to have him on. It's Tim Murray, everybody. How you doing, Tim?
I'm great, Gil. How you doing, man?
Doing very well. Can you share with us? You were just saying off air, you got a DC gig, our old stomping grounds?
Yeah, I'm excited. So there's a station in DC. VSiN is carried on iHeart Sports 1190 in the nation's capital, and their sister station, Big 100, is the flagship of the Commanders. And my maiden voyage tonight, Gil, starts the big wager at 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock local.
Is that what it's called?
Getting into leading into the official pregame show there. So very much looking forward to it. Paul Charchian going to be my first guest, friend of the network. So looking forward to talking back in D.C. I mean, you know how it is. There's the nostalgia there, Gil.
And, absolutely.
You and I have commiserated many times with the previous ownership, and there's just a little extra juice with Mr. Snyder gone.
There really is. By the way, real quick before we get to college football, any thoughts on the Commodores game tonight?
Be careful.
Yes, I agree.
Be careful. That line is telling you something, man. And it just, there's something about that line being six and everybody assuming, oh, I just throw, tease it down to pick them or put them in a money line. I don't know. Just be careful. They should win. They're the better team, but that game just gives me some heebie-jeebies, which is a great, gambling term, right? It's just something about it, Gil. I don't know. It seems to be one of those, like, why is it going that way?
Yeah. Well, it's also just the spider senses of having gone through it with this team for so many years. With apologies to Oklahoma, Texas, maybe the biggest game on the board this week, Alabama, Texas A&M. Crimson Tide down to a 1.5 point favorite on the road here. You have thoughts. You have bets. What do you got?
Yeah. No, I mean, I saw there were 3.5s out there earlier this week. I wasn't, that quick to get it, but I was able to grab a 3, and I actually would still play it with A&M if you want to get a little plus money on the money line. But this is obviously going to be an incredible atmosphere down there at Kyle Field. Texas A&M, here's the thing. They've been recruiting, as has Alabama, Gil, at an absolutely elite level these past handful of years, but it just hasn't come to fruition yet. We just keep hearing about these great recruiting classes and Jimbo keeps kind of bungling it. But outside of the Miami game, which obviously happened, but if you look back at the Miami game and why they were so successful, Gil, is because they went vertical. And I don't know if Alabama has the capabilities of doing that, having that success vertically. They want to kind of run it down your throat. And I think that plays into the hands of Texas A&M. So I look a little bit towards the under. I think A&M takes care of business. And one final thing to kind of keep an eye on. There were some little birds out there saying that Jalen Milroe might have got nicked up at practice, possibly a hamstring. That is not concrete. That is not sourced yet. But I'm just saying, keep an eye on that because there's some words out there. Because if it's not Jalen Milroe, we've seen, Gil, what is waiting in the wings. It's Tyler Buckner.
Yes, we have.
It's Ty Simpson. It's not what you want. So I do like Giga Maggie here in a big spot. Look, Jimbo Fisher, outside of kind of being a pretty big disappointment for the money that he's gotten there in College Station, he has, for the most part, played Alabama well. So I'm going to take the Aggies here in a huge spot and to knock off Alabama.
Yeah, so right about, quarterback reflecting really the difference in this Alabama team versus others. It's the depth, isn't it? It's just they don't have the layers underneath quite the way that we've become accustomed.
Now, real quickly, Gil, I mean, it's not like A&M's the epitome of health. They're starting quarterback Connor Wegman's out for the year. It's Max Johnson coming in. Wegman certainly a guy that could utilize his legs much more. So, certainly something to keep in mind. I do think, we've seen a lot of under money come in, and I think that's accurate. I think this is going to be the old typical rock fight, right? This is going to be low scoring, kind of feels like, I don't want to say we're going to go back to the days of 9-6 Alabama LSU in 2000 and what was that? 14 or something like that. But I think this will be a pretty low scoring type of affair.
All right. We still got a bunch of undefeated teams in college football. And by a bunch, I mean double digit worth of undefeated teams. Wazoo is one of them. They're on the road at UCLA. UCLA a 3. And now I see a tick to 3.5 point favorite here. What do you like?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of one of those spots where I think the line's kind of telling us a little bit of a story here. Wazoo's been really impressive, and I wouldn't fault anyone for taking the 3.5 with the visiting squad. But I think this is a great spot for UCLA. Both teams are coming off a bye, so there's no rest advantage one way or the other. And look, I was wrong about Wazoo week one. I went against Cam Ward with Colorado State grabbing the points, and he lit them up. But, so far, Washington State, they haven't faced, in my opinion, a defense with a quality secondary. And I think this is a great spot for UCLA, licking their wounds coming off of that just horrendous offensive performance on the road against Utah 2 weeks ago. So I think this is a good spot. And I really believe, Gil, this is where the cannibalization of the Pac-12 begins. This conference is loaded. And I really hope, just as a college football fan, that somebody can get out of this conference with one loss, because I'd love to see one of these teams get into the playoff, because there's some incredibly talented teams, as we'll see next week when Oregon, plays Washington, which, a look ahead line of Washington, think minus three I saw, you know, earlier today. But I think UCLA at the Rose Bowl, not that it's going to be an amazing atmosphere by any stretch, a noon start time, but I do think UCLA, with the talent that they have, the ability that they went to the portal, adding some pieces, I think UCLA gets Washington State here. And I will go ahead, and if you want to go a cheap money line price at minus 160 or so, which is out there, or lay the three, each, whatever works for you. But I think UCLA takes care of business here.
Yeah, that cannibalization you just talked about, yet another thing that when we go to 12 teams in a playoff next year won't matter in the same way. You had some thoughts on Georgia in a year where, like, the greats, the haves are not quite as heavy as they have been, if you will, in previous years. Georgia still rolling along. Well, I don't know about rolling along this past week, but they got it done. 14.5 point favorites against Kentucky. What do you think there?
Well, we've got a really great fraternity growing. It's Georgia, number one in the country, Illinois, Vanderbilt, and UT San Antonio. Those are the four teams who have yet to cover a game this year, Gil. So quite the exclusive group. I think this is the spot where Georgia gets their first cover. You know, you're thinking about Kentucky. They come off of a really impressive performance. I loved them last week, taking on Florida, the Gators. And, you know, Ray Davis, by the way, if you haven't seen him, the running back from Kentucky, he's an absolute stud. However, Devin Leary was kind of supposed to help solidify this offense through the air. And he, the NC State transfer, Gil, still seems to be dealing with that pec injury that he had from a year ago, through for just 69 yards against Florida. Now, the surprising thing last week was Auburn, not only did they keep it close, they were successful on the ground, which makes me a little bit hesitant here to lay this big number. I'll say this, let's just wait, because the public's actually coming in on Kentucky. You're going to get a 14 at some point. I was able to grab it earlier this week, I think on Tuesday, a 14. No need to rush to get the 14.5. I think a 14 will pop, Gil, but I think Georgia really takes care of business here. It's a night game. I think situationally, you've got Kirby Smart kind of being asked questions about, hey, is it a letdown factor? I mean, we've learned that Kirby Smart is a pretty good motivator, telling his team last year that they were 6-6 in some people's eyes, which obviously was incredibly inaccurate. But what Kentucky wants to do is they want to run the ball down your throat. I just don't see that being successful. Georgia may have found something. Ladd McConkey is back as well. You know, look, I think the loss of Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator going to the Ravens, might have been undersold a little bit. But I feel like this spot at night between the hedges, Gil, is the spot where Georgia gets in the column that we care about, which is Covertown.
30 seconds wouldn't be a Tim Murray segment without Notre Dame thought. 6.5 point favorites at Louisville.
Yeah, this isn't the spot to fade Notre Dame. It'll be coming. You know, last week, they're going to run out of gas. This is their third straight primetime game, Gil. But look at who Louisville has played to this point. I thought this would be a tricky spot preseason. It may ultimately play out that way, but I just haven't been all that impressed by Louisville. I think Notre Dame should flex their muscles a little bit. I'm not laying the 6.5, but boy, at some point, guys, it's going to catch up to them. Another primetime game next week as well. It'll be 8 straight games, 4 straight in prime time. So we'll see when that gas hits empty for the Irish.
Yeah, would have loved to have seen you going nuts that final drive against Duke this past week. Tim Murray, everybody. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it, man.
All right, see you guys.
Tim Murray, Sean King, VSiN Primetime, 6-9 Eastern, weekdays right here at VSiN. Crackman, unscripted, next.